Hello, this is Gosha from Cosmic Agency. How are you doing? How are you doing with the world? Today's video is very important, and I wanted to make this introduction myself and draw your attention, special attention, to this video in particular, even though all of them are very special, are important. However, this one, in a way, summarizes what Svaru is about. It summarizes her work and her expertise on timelines, and more importantly, towards the end of the video, her conclusions about this whole timeline jumping situation. She will talk about timeline jumping and whether it is beneficial to do that in order to change the course of the history, because temporal manipulation, that's what it is about. It is about altering something in the past in order to change the course of our history to have, as a result, a better future from our perspective. So she will explain if this really truly works and if it serves any purpose, and if not, why not? She will have very, very profound conclusions at the end, so I really encourage you to stay till the end of the video. The time travel paradoxes will be explained. Is there such a thing as those famous paradoxes, like they present them in movies? And, you know, this is a very special video because Svaru is someone who has done a lot in the past, in the human history. As she will explain herself, you can see her hand and her touch in the history of our race. And she has been doing this, jumping through timelines, trying to affect the development of the events this way, through time jumping, because that's what she is an expert at. But this is the first time, and that's why it's so important to have her with us. This is the first time she's actually doing this, trying to alter the future events, sharing the same timeline with the people, with us, with her mind, with her information, trying to influence our consciousness this way, trying to offering, simply, maybe not influencing, but trying to offer a different perspective so that a different timeline, a different future timeline can come out as a result of that. This is the first time she's doing this way. And if she is here with us in this timeline right now, co-creating with us at this special moment, it means that this moment in our history must be important for whatever reason. It must be a nexus point, because how she explained, she appeared in the past in nexus points of our history, trying to alter some kind of events. So she's here with us, and this is an amazing honor that we are sharing this attention, consciousness, reality moment with her. This is truly something extraordinary. So I am, again, encouraging you all to watch this video till the very end. It's going to be worth it. It's one of her most epic videos. Enjoy.
We'll be right back. Saru, what do you mean by temporal manipulation with spaceships? And why is it important to understand it?
It is time jumping with a ship, with the purpose of altering the future. But I cannot explain any of this with Earth science. That must be left at the door. It goes for all Earth science, be it quantum, relativistic, Newtonian, or religious. Everything has an energetic address, be it an object or a place, but also a progression of the same objects in the same place, a number of infinite variants placed one after the other, as an example. This can be represented as a film roll, in which the whole film already exists. It's just each person that sees the progression of stills or fixed images, which get animated in their minds. You take the film tape as the temporal arrow from the past towards the present and the future. To help with the comprehension, from a linear point of view, you can go back to the beginning of the tape or to any point in it. It can be forward or backwards, and from this moment, you will begin to see a progression of events. Each frame of the tape has a direction or a number that identifies it. As with the film tape, a spaceship goes to that numeric address that identifies a point in time. This number is its address. It is its frequency. The ship matches the frequency and jumps to be equivalent to that frequency. When a frequency is equalized, it becomes more of that frequency. That is, it is equivalent or the same. Even though the concept, the perception of a temporal arrow is like a film tape from the 3D perspective, from the most expanded point of view of other densities, in this case the 5D, time stops being perceived as an arrow or a film roll. Time is perceived as space with three directions or coordinates, X, Y, Z, in which the temporal progression as a film tape is only valid from the perspective as a succession of personal events or a consciousness point of attention. It is relative to each individual, where from one or another circumstance, the perception of time expands infinitely in all directions. Time is not something external, and it is not something material. It is only a perception linked directly to the consciousness and is inseparable because it is necessary to achieve or is the product of achieving the state of self-consciousness or self-awareness. I think, therefore, I am is only true if there is a sequence of thoughts. This sequence of thoughts or conscious realizations is time. Time is consciousness and is relative to each attention consciousness person individual. On Earth, time is seen or taken as a temporal arrow or film tape of events because you have common agreements of perception between those who live there. Having the same idea or the same perception because the population has equality of frequencies, you will see or perceive time in the same way or very similar, never exactly the same. And the reason why there are many people in this population, for example, on Earth, is exactly because they have or share a very similar frequency. The individual points of attention consciousness persons are reality itself, given that there is nothing external to them. being that time, as well as space universe, can now be represented as an infinite sphere. We can find any specific point in any temporal dimension. Dimension, not density. For clarity of thoughts, you could say that in 5D, a three-dimensions space exists, and time of three dimensions too, with a total of six dimensions of space-time. Note the dynamics of 3, 6, 9, 12, of the mathematical side of the ether. But in itself, this is still naming it this way, to try to understand it better. It is just a whole, where the only thing that exists is a potential energy, in which a consciousness emanates or causes the perception of something which then contrasts with something else, and then the immediate relationship with them, creating a locality, a here and a there, followed by a distance between them or a measure between those two objects that are nothing more than nodes in the ether, and finally giving an awareness animation, which is what we will see or interpret as time. The whole universe is energetically interconnected and emanates from the same field of potential energy that we call the ether. In other words, any point is related with the energy and frequency to another, obeying precise and predictable mathematics. There is an energy flow inside the ether. That flow is pure consciousness, because it is what animates the potential energy and gives its meaning and interpretation. Beyond that, the ether, or the potential energy, is consciousness itself, the total unification, or the source. As we have the knowledge of each point in our sphere X, Y, and Z, and its unique energy frequency address, we can replicate it with our ship using the engines. A spaceship's engine is an instrument of frequency manipulations made so that the ship itself, its matter, and everything inside it becomes equivalent to the frequency dictated by the onboard computer, for the ship to be incorporated within the frequency of the destination, being more of that frequency. Being equivalent is the destination, and that is equivalent to being in the destination. So, time, for the Taygetan science and starships, among other races, is not something apart from the whole, or it is only used as another factor for the intention of it being more understandable in general. Time is only part of the destination, part of what constitutes or forms a specific point in this ball of X, Y, and Z that we would represent as the potential energy or ether that forms everything. The time factor is merged into the numerical frequency that represents a point or the destination of a ship. To navigate a ship in time, you should only observe a frequency map and match that target destination frequency with the ship's engines. It doesn't matter if you go to a point in space today, yesterday, or 10,000 years ago, or 10,000 years later. It is the same for the ship and its engines. Although apparently they have total capacity, the total when and where is restricted to the frequency emulating capacity of the very ship. That is, the design and capacity of the ship dictates its travel capacity. One travels to this specific point, past, present, or future, and from there, in accordance with the ship's and its crew's perception, time begins to advance. This is where the temporal perception of fifth density ET races ends. Because this is where I explain why I say no to the temporal manipulation and its complete uselessness. But that is mine. And it has taken me a lot of work to incorporate this into the Federation. But little by little, it is being achieved. My perception and my empirical experience in this area differs from that of the other races. I will explain it now. Let's see this as looking back from the present. Every line represents a timeline. All exist, but we only perceive one. We perceive it as a line of events from the past to the present or the future. But in reality, according to each decision we make, it makes us jump from one line to another, being that everything we will live and everything that exists already is. So the destiny is already written. But as there is an infinite amount of variance, at the same time that destiny is already written, there is also free will, simultaneously. Therefore, the line that each person experiences is not a single fixed sequence, as in one of each of those blue lines in the image, but a continual jump between already written and fixed possibilities. But from the perspective of each person, individual consciousness, it will be seen or perceived as one line. From the point of view of someone watching from outside, it would look like this. Where the individual is the red line, jumping according to his decisions between timelines. When she or he jumps more than one at a time, she or he is said to have made a quantum leap that takes its name from when the electrons of an atom jump more than one orbit. Each point in the red line is a point in time and space from the perspective of the base individual. And it can be represented, and it is a frequency which the ship can emulate and match with its engines. In this scheme, with the low frequencies on one side and the high frequencies on the other, with the entire range in between. So, if we go back to a point on that red line of events, we could skip making the same bad decision from before. But by changing that point or event, we open the way to a whole new chain of events that are the outcome of the new decision. The change does not affect the starting position of the ship before leaving to make the temporal time change, to alter the past for a better future. Complete in this new image. Here, the focus is on the point of a bad decision to change, the point that caused a negative timeline. So you travel in a ship to the point of the bad decision, white curved line, to that point and avoid the bad decision. Proceed to a better future than the previous, orange line, corrected positive timeline. But even though the date is the same, July 9, 2019, it is not the same position in the space-time, as you can see by the letters A of the negative timeline and B of the positive timeline. In this graphic representation, it can be seen that although you alter the past, the present from which you have left still exists and you have not altered anything. Only your perception is what has changed, and you no longer see the present point A, but the present point B. But in the same way, we could assign letters to each point on the same blue line or date of July 9, 2019, corresponding to an infinite number of good and bad alternate futures. It is only your own frequency perception, who you are, as well as the frequency emulator, which is the ship, that determines what present or future you will have. But sending someone from point A, the negative, to correct the point of bad decision makes no sense. The only beneficiary is, in any case, the one who makes the temporary jump and not the agent that assigned the mission, since it stays behind in the negative point A and never benefits from the work of the chrononaut. I imagine that we have to add to this the issue that each person is a timeline, although we seem to live in a group one, right? Yes, to simplify, I only use the perception point of view of one person. Collectively, it is by agreement. But the agreement is not that they sit down at a table to discuss how they will see one thing or another, although that too happens. Rather, it is two or more people who perceive the so-called outside world in more or less the same way, because their personal frequencies, who they are very similar. So, the persons that we see in our surroundings have a mentality similar to ours. Although we can perceive negative or aggressive people as the five can see the three, but the three not the five, because they are also part of ourselves. They make up who we are. We know what not to do and how not to be, thanks to them. But in the same way, we can focus on what we want to see, experience, and live, and not on what we don't want. Returning to the explanation of timelines. I have seen this empirically, and little by little, as well as with the ship's computer in Suzy. The images I gave you are raw, and with more time, they can be improved. For me, this is not theory. It is practical and it is empirical. That is why I am like this today. It is how I think and what I live, and what I have lived for 12 lives already. When you jump time again and again, for thousands of years, you become something else. You don't think the same anymore. You don't perceive reality in the same way. I understand, and thank you for explaining it in these details, Varu. I have an important question. You, to reach this conclusion of timelines, that it shouldn't be done because your original line is not changed. To get to this, in theory, during the attempt to modify a certain line, you had to go back to your previous line to verify that it was not really modified. Or if not, how have you verified that the original line was not really modified? In itself, it is the basics. You travel from point A to 1944 again and correct the problem. We will see that part later. So from then on, in that line, you will not see the problem. Everything is good. But it is an illusion, because from that altered past in the Nexus point 1944, if you return to the future on that corrected line, you will only see the future of that line, the corrected future. Apparently, you will have solved the problem for everyone. But where you came from, the problem still persists. It is just that you no longer perceive it. But this is my question. How do you know that it is like that? Have you returned to where you left to discover this? In theory, you had to go back there and see that nothing has changed and say to yourself, surprise, nothing has changed, right? What I did was of no use. It is that when you jump from point A to the Nexus point 1944, in the computer, you still have the frequency coordinates of the exit point A. But as what you want is to see into the future, to see if the change has already taken effect, you will not use these A coordinates. You will use a new calculation in the computer based on the changes of the Nexus point. If not, if you return to point A, it is as if you erase all the work you did to make the changes. If you return to exit point A, that is registered in the computer, you will see that you have not managed to change anything. But the illusion is that you also perceive it as not doing any work on the Nexus point, mission not accomplished. And have you done that? Did you ever go back? I think this is my question. Yes, many times. I have explored these navigation variants extensively. Did you return to the exit point after making changes? Yes, and there are no changes. Okay, I wanted to know this. It was logical for me to go back to check 100%. But it is taught in Sandclock that when you make a change, you return to that future, or you will be stuck in the negative initial future that you wanted to change in the first place. But that it is an illusion. Therefore, I can go to the Nexus point from A and then return to A, but you will not see any changes. So, what did you jump for? You have to verify your work from the position of the orange line with the future already altered from the Nexus point. And the future you will see next is a happy B. But the initial point A still exists, like all the others. That is why I say, for example, that the Earth has already been liberated, and for a long time. We just don't perceive it. But changing our perception, free the Earth from what exactly? The collective average still wants it to be just as it is. Even those who fight, what they want to see and experience is the fight itself. You work for an end, but you don't come to an end. As the purpose of a symphony is not to reach the end of the symphony, it is to enjoy its course, its duration. That in life you have to work towards then retreating, it is excuses. That is not living life. You can lead a horse to the water, you can bring it a full bucket, but he won't drink if he doesn't want to. How do you convince a horse to drink the water? You create a water deficit. With this, the horse will see the water as something important. As with spirituality. Yes, churches sell you ducky spirituality, already digested, for the retarded. Like a spirituality processed in a factory, and with a colorful wrapping. Just like junk food of the earth, colorful wrapping, images of happy people, and crunchy. That you buy, and that you consume. Why look for another spirituality? You need to realize that they give you colorful scrap, like Doritos. But people who seek refuge, being true devotees of junk spirituality religions, are not to be blamed for all. They seek answers outside of a solid and materialistic matrix. Only that, they have no choice but to eat spiritual Doritos. Zvaru, those who, as you say, still want this system, some are like those of the Doritos, having no other options. We here with this information simply give other options. Someone has to do it. Not only the cabal can offer lifestyles and other modes of perception. And options we give. Today, many people are like the horse. thirsty for something else. The water spirituality deficit is already created. That is when we can give. Not before, or they would burn us at the stakes. And believe me, they do that. We only offer it to those who agree with all this. Going back to the jumps and your conclusions, why haven't the Andromedans done these examinations in their society yet, for example? It seems super logical that this should be done to verify all of it. They are quite simple in thought, and I regret to say, fearful of their karma beliefs. So they haven't bothered to jump timelines for years.
And other races? Have they jumped to do these studies?
So far, it seems not, or not like us. Jumping only serves the one who jumped. Yes, it works, but for you, not for altruistic purposes. It is assumed that by studying the history thoroughly, you can see the nexus points. A nexus point is the place of decision that changed a life. For example, a student sitting in the park that opens two envelopes from two universities. She opens one and it says that she was accepted for psychology. She opens the other and it says she was accepted for history. At that time, she has money for the registration fee, but only one of the degrees is possible. She thinks for a moment, imagines herself in one place and then in the other. She makes the decision to study psychology. That is a clear nexus point that changes her life and is summed up in those seconds of decision. If you want to change this, you could have the exact frequencies of that moment after an investigation and constant navigation to look for it. And since you know that the history envelope has a red line and the psychology envelope has a blue line, you can stop by the park and ask the time of the subject. You steal the psychology envelope or replace it with another one that you have prepared that says psychology rejected. With that, you alter history. Her whole life will be different, and it only took you seconds to make the change. Sand clock is that, jumping in time, and with small or big things, alter the future. Or you know that an aerospace engineer who has important documents in his briefcase will be run over in New York at 12:11 on the corner of 11th Avenue and 7. You travel there. You stop him and ask him how to get to the Chrysler building. It takes only 30 seconds for him to tell you that you have to go down 2 streets to the right. But with that, he arrived late to his destination and was not run over, changing the whole story. For she or he who travels, it is perceived as a success. That scientist invented the spike jet engine with a 60% fuel efficiency improvement over normal rocket engines. In addition, it solves the gas expansion problem in a rocket exhaust nozzle, advancing terrestrial technology many years. But it is from your perception that you know that you have stopped him from being run over. You observe it. You create it. You manifest it for your world. But you don't alter anything from whence you came to realize said mission. Because you come from a place in space and time where he was run over. It does not alter anything. That does not change. What happened could only have happened that way. What happened cannot be reversed. Nevertheless, for you, yes, because you jumped. With a creative essence and intention, you altered that future. But only you who have jumped can perceive it, and not from the place where you started from. So that alternate world is of your creation, almost godlike power, true, or your own illusion generated by your mind, valid only for you. But in any case, how does this differ from your own imagination? Another problem that is hardly mentioned is how events are like things with their own harmonic of a frequency. Fate, to call it that way, plays tricks with you, because the harmonic of a frequency remains there, the existential flow and dynamics of that other creative consciousness too, that of the scientist, who still alters what you as a temporal manipulator want or wish to change. The scientist arrives at his house that day. He never learned that someone saved him from being run over that day. He never learned that he would die that day, leaving his spike rocket engine unfinished. But the next day he leaves, or 2 weeks later, a taxi runs him over when you are no longer looking, causing you to once more go back to save him. You save him, and 3 days later, he is run over by a patrol car. You jump again, and he is run over by a bus. You jump again, and he is run over by a tourist horse cart. Time and destiny is difficult to alter, even with technology, because the creative energy dynamics, harmonics of a frequency, are still there. Why are they still standing there, working? Because a person is just that, a node in a potential energy field, a standing wave in the ether. The scientist has no destiny. He is his own destiny. He is a frequency. He is compatible to be run over. You do not have a destiny. You are your own destiny. It is not external to you. You generate it because you are it. One of our contacts told us this, that one day he saved a cat in traffic because he saw him caught in the suspensions of a car. He stopped the car and went under it and saved the cat. He adopted the cat and took it to live in the suburbs, where there is almost no circulation of cars. He lived just over a year in peace and never went out, very calm. It is not known why, but he left. And the only time he left, he was run over. You are already your destiny. To change your destiny, you must change yourself. Be compatible with something else. But it is true that it is not worth much or at all to jump timelines in order to change history. And this is not theory. It is empirical practice observed through many, many years of practice, documentation, and observation. You can only do what you think is best, the right thing according to you. And for that, you don't need to jump timelines. Okay, fascinating, wow. Okay, so to sum up, there are 2 points here that I understand, simplifying. One, you should not jump because in doing so, you change something, but the other version, the original one, remains the same. Two, you should not jump because the harmonics of the frequency of the event or person you wish to influence will still create her or his own destiny, despite what you do. Is that correct? Yes. Even so, it gives you the illusion of control, that you personally do the right thing. So you will continue doing it, but for you. Asks Robert. Does the DNA change with so many time jumps? The DNA never stays still. It changes over time, through our lives. genes are turned off and others are turned on. New ones are created too. What changes, it is the consciousness of who has it, of who uses it, because in itself, it is part of itself, a crystalline expression of what the soul and consciousness is. This is how other species are created. Not with natural evolution of the adaptive survival of the strongest, Darwin, but by the reflection of or following what the DNA expresses in a world called physical, being that everything is etheric, of consciousness. In itself, the concept of DNA of its formation as an example or memory of a being, of a soul, in a mathematical crystalline form is also applied in non-human holographic quantum computers. Now, the use of military time jumps. It is clear that time jumps are not feasible for military uses. They would only serve for smaller tactical jumps, such as in air combat, like having an enemy ship behind you and jumping to get behind that ship, now in a firing position. It is said that time travels are done to alter the outcome of a conflict, such as traveling to kill Hitler before he takes power. But it has no influence. It is fiction. From the concept that if time is only a result of personal perception, all strategic and military uses collapse. We have said that jumping timelines only benefits those who jump, and not those who observe from the outside. Sending someone from one perspective and then observing how everything has changed, like in movies, as in the Mandela effect, is false and proves a total ignorance on the subject. But this can be observed from a logical point of view, if not from the empirical one, I mean the general public. From the logical point of view, premise one, which takes place if time is a result of the consciousness that animates everything and is personal. Premise two, so if it is the result of consciousness because you can see how time alters only by a change of perception, there is no time outside of consciousness. Premise 3. So time does not exist and is only something inside the personal experience of each person or point of attention consciousness. Premise 4. So as an external cause, time does not exist. Premise 5. If time does not exist, it cannot be the cause of a chain of events that are suffered in a deterministic way from the point of view of an observing consciousness, only by logic. Time travel to alter the future, and that is reflected in Mandela effects, as many say, is false. What they say is only a reflection of their perception of time as linear, as a single collective mass. Now, focusing on paradoxes, they cannot exist either. For example, the grandfather's paradox, that I travel back in time to an era where my grandfather was young and still had no children. I argue with him and kill him. How was my dad born for me to be born, to travel back in time to kill him in the first place? These kinds of paradoxes is what feeds movie plots like Back to the Future, where time is deterministic and linear. The perception of time is linear, but it does not behave like this in the collective soup of consciousnesses that generate all the individual and collective total perception of all points of consciousness awareness. The answer is that in that timeline, the subject who traveled in time will never be born, and there will be a whole chain of different events. But he will not disappear, because from his own timeline, from his own film role, he does come from his own timeline where he was born. If you travel through time and give to your younger self a transcript with your future inventions, and the younger you writes a book. Where did the creative inspiration come from? From other lines, which do not disappear. They are only there. And in itself, this explains the inspiration to inspire. Or like if a spirit has blown the information from another existential plane to you. You only access the information from other timelines. It is already there, because there is no time as such. So what will be already is from another perspective or point of attention. And what does this lead us to? Is it true that time travel only serves the one who jumps and no one else? By pure logic, we have seen that it does not serve anyone else. Because if you animate time as a result of your perception, you cannot alter someone else's perception. Time depends on the perception of a consciousness point of creative attention, but as experience only, and it is personal. Everything is perception. And the what you interpret from the seemingly and illusory external world depends only on what you know on your evolutionary level as a soul, as a holographic fragment of the source. Time, then, can only be an experience and not something external to the person. It has been said that there are time particles called chronotons. This makes no sense. They only remain in the minds of scientists from CERN, who manifest what they are looking for, because what you look for, you will find. It is the law of mirrors. This applies mainly to subatomic particles, since the amount of energy that is necessary to manifest them is very small. As already explained in Mechanics of Manifestation, the consciousness focuses on potential energy, ether, gravity, in a node or standing wave, which will be a matter particle or potential energy concentrated in a single point, as was discovered in 1909 in the slit experiment. But is it true that time travel and jumping timelines only benefits the one who realizes it? We have seen that it does not benefit anyone else. Does it really benefit the one who jumps? From an external point of view, from the person who jumps, it does benefit her or him because she or he can change the perceived world towards a better or more desired one. In other words, you will get a better life position, riches if you wish, all because you modify everything at your convenience. And from the moral point of view, it does not take anything away from anyone, as everything already is. But this is from a material point of view. It is from a life experience where self-worth depends on what you have and not what you are. You will get to the point where what you have will have no value for said person. The material is illusory and boring. If you are not happy with what you have, you will not be happy with what you desire to have. As a soul that wants expansion, growing your consciousness, understanding more, this gives you a limited experience, because there is something that no time machine can change. And I talk about you who jumps. Something inescapable that no time manipulation technology can change to your benefit. You will timeline jump and you will modify what you want and everything you can in your favor. But you will find something that is inescapable, immutable, stable, solid. No time manipulation technology, no matter how high, can make it possible for you who jumps to escape from yourself, from who you are, who you have been, from your being and essence. What you have done defines you. It is what makes you who you are. You will carry in your memory where you have been, where you have jumped, the variants of what you have changed. Your timeline film role as a person point of attention consciousness is immutable, and your errors unalterable and incorrigible. Whatever you carry within yourself, you jump or you don't jump timelines, yours will always be a linear story for you, with the past, present, and future. This is how a consciousness evolves. But jumping lines only gives you experiences, and yes, they alter and a lot, but experiences they are, and nothing more. You cannot undo an experience you already had. To process this, who you are, where you are going, your identity as a person, you reach it with the simplicity of life, without the need to jump timelines. What you would like to change external to you is only a temporary placebo, a futile external taste. Okay, thank you so much, Varu. Very profound thoughts. Now, a question, maybe an obvious one at this moment. To reach these deep conclusions, what have you tried to change in history? So many things, I can't list them all. You'll always see my hand or my attempts at manipulation throughout history. It is not being self-centered. It is just the way it is. It is who I am. It is who I have been. And there are no paradoxes, as they say, because time is not linear. But I don't see the purpose of continuing to alter timelines with what I know today, with what I have documented. If I go back in time and alter the result of a plane that breaks down, it would cause a chain of events one after another. I simply wouldn't have told you anything about that plane, because nothing happened. Like many other times, I want to feel that I prevented those disasters. Nothing to report, but that's the good thing. We would have worked on some new topic like nothing. You would have made another video. Someone else would see it on YouTube and it would give them another idea. That person would be late somewhere, say in Quito, Ecuador. Just by listening to the video, he was fired. Not to mention that the people saved from the plane arrived safely in their city. They made plans and dined with their families, ignorant of what happened. But by jumping, only I would see it, you would not. And I would be talking with another Robert and Gosha, slightly different, not you. A small alteration, but it all adds up. Until you lose your identity, where you are from, who you are. At this point, there is something that is still not clear to me. Okay, for example, you said that by saving that plane, those people would have gone quietly to their destination without knowing it. But it has also been said that the other line where they die continues. That is why it is no use in changing it. So my question is this, why would the consciousness perception of those saved ones be in the saved ones, so to speak, and not go where they died? Why would they be aware from the timeline where they were saved? Because in that nexus point, timelines would be divided in several directions. Because all possibilities exist. If you think about it, it is somewhere. But it is for you, not for them. So I go and save them, but it is what I perceive. Here in this baseline, they died. That cannot be altered. Traveling to the past only changes your perception of the past and the situations and events that compose it, but not of the other people. We don't need to know and perceive what they would have done if they lived today. But this about
originals and new ones. Sounds as if the consciousness always divides itself. Is that so? Are they dividing themselves? And we simply don't find out about it because of the time factor, which is the consciousness animating a single timeline of sequences of events for us? The consciousness always divides itself, yes. It is the same definition that we are holographic fragments of the source. We pass or access information from other timelines all the time. And yes, time is something that only you perceive in the peculiar way in which you perceive it. It is your signature and it is unique. Yes, thank you. And if you, Svaru, imagining that you went to save that plane, you would save them from that timeline, not this, but you would return to ours, right? You wouldn't disappear. I can go back to this one after saving that plane, but you would not see any difference because you are in this line and not in that one. So it's like, or it's the same as if I told you that I jumped last night and saved that and that plane in another line, just that you cannot see it. But what difference is there with just imagining it? You would see it as a lie, or simply because no change is seen, it is discarded as useless from this timeline. So in order to see the change, you must jump to the date from the line where the plane was saved. That future, 1 week later exactly, but from the saved line. So it's like if I told you that I saved the plane, because in another timeline, it fell. But again, you would see it as nothing has happened, that I only invented it, because you don't know of any fallen plane, so I only invent things for you. In both cases, there is no external evidence from the point of view of who is watching without jumping. Changing things only serves the one who jumps and no one else. A month ago, I saved a bus from falling into a ravine with 35 people on board. What evidence is there of that? It's the same as if I hadn't done anything at all. Only I, who jumped, know if this is true or not. It's just an example. I saved nothing. Thank you, I understand. And one more thing. If I am on the plane that, okay, one of them will go down and another one will be saved, what determines me staying in the one that was saved as opposed to the one in which I die? Me, I mean, as the perception of myself. Your frequency, whether or not you are compatible with it. And remember, you are your frequency. You don't have a frequency. But both yous exist simultaneously. So those of the new line, so to speak, the saved one, they don't know that they were saved. The originals die just the same. Yes, that does not change. That is to say, I leave this timeline, travel to the past, save the plane, and return here. But it would be the future of that line, not this one. This line remains the same. Then you'll ask me why I don't return exactly here, if it is a frequency, and it can be saved on the ship's computers. Yes, it can be saved. But then I come here, and in my memory, I saved them. But not in yours, neither in the perception of the world and the injured themselves, or else you would remember it. Ergo, I did not achieve anything. It wouldn't matter if I told you right now that I just jumped back in time and saved them. The saved ones were in another timeline, not this one. But how does this differ from imagination? In that case, it is better not to do anything, since I know that in other timelines they were saved, or simply that it never happened. I don't need to jump to save them. I know they are fine in those other timelines, so why bother jumping in the first place? It is something that only affects me, to make my world a better place for me, nothing more. There, with the ship,
a star map. So I am the all-powerful goddess. And I've already done that to a great extent. Knowing it's only for me, I end up in a quasi-perfect world, ideal, boring, and lonely. What I have not done is not jump, and only alter the events with what I know, with my mind, in this timeline that I am sharing with you all. I am sharing, not alone. It is co-creation. But for that, it is not necessary to have ships and knowledge of timelines, just to live the best that everyone can at all times. But how does that differ from living as everyone else does? Not much. It makes you appreciate what you have and realize that everything is for a reason. And not even with super powerful time machines and computers on starships do you manage to fix your life. Because your life is not something you aspire to, something you need to arrive to be happy. It is something you live on a daily basis. It is not a journey with a destination. Life is just that. To live moments that, with or without super high technology, never return. You have to live it to realize what you had in the first place. What you want is the peace that simplicity gives you. The power of the goddess with temporal alteration at your convenience only fills you with loneliness. You don't need ships to be happy. Only by having them will you realize that you already had everything you needed.